Yes, indeed. Good singing this morning. And let's sing again, speaking of that. For our final hymn, folks, let's stand and let's open up to hymn number 260, one of our favorite. Hymn 260 talks about the very best friend you could ever have. His name is Jesus Christ. Without Him, we are nothing. With Him, we have everything. Everything we need for time and eternity. 260. We're going to sing the first and the last for our final hymn prior to the Sunday morning sermon. What a friend. Ellie's got it.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grace to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God.
Be seated, church. Oh, what a blessing. Just I was thinking yesterday, and I posted on Facebook, I was thinking about Trump and Pence. Trump, Pence. And I thought, trumpets. Trumpets. Doesn't it sound like trumpets? And then the Bible says, at the last trump. At the last trump. The last president, I believe he is. Well, praise the Lord for that, folks. Little tidbits, you know, that the Lord gives you. But, of course, we'll sing again afterwards. Let's grab our Bibles at this particular time and open up to the book of Psalms this morning. Psalm 51. I have a special message for you this morning in Psalms 51. Psalm 51, as most of you know, is one of the nine penitential psalms. Penitential, meaning repentance. Asking the Lord for forgiveness. Amen? Psalm 51. Before I get to our passage here in Psalm 51, I want to ask you a question, church. The question is this. Have you ever had a day in your Christian life where you just completely blew it? I mean, you got in the flesh, you said something, you treated somebody badly, you sinned. I mean, you did something you're ashamed of, and you needed God's forgiveness. My hand's up. Oh yeah, everybody's hands up for that one. Because at times we all need forgiveness, don't we?
Amen.
Because at times we all mess up because of this stinking rotten flesh, which one day will be glorified. We look forward to that. But in the meantime, we need forgiveness. David was no different. And here in Psalm 51, David had grievously sinned against the Lord. It's a matter in the matter of Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. His sin involved adultery, murder, lying to cover it up. His heart is now heavy with the load of evil that he had committed. But he goes to God in true repentance and confession and seeking of forgiveness. Amen? That's what Psalm 51 is all about. That's why it was written. And why did God include this in his holy word? Beloved, I believe it's to show you and I that we too can go to him in humble confession and repentance and find forgiveness for whatever wrongs we commit in our lives as well. I take it that no one here has committed adultery or murdered somebody or covered up some wicked crime. David did. And if David could be forgiven for that, you and I can surely be forgiven for whatever it is we come to the Lord for. In Psalm 51, we'll begin reading this morning in verse number 1. And remember, David wrote this shortly after. Look at the title of the psalm. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. Wow. We read in verse 1. I want to speak to you, beloved. My sermon this morning, a prayer for all ages. A prayer for all ages. That's not ages, but dispensations. Verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Beloved, I want to speak to you this morning, briefly, on a prayer for all ages. Father in heaven, how we thank you for Psalm 51, still in the Bible. How we thank you that this incredible example of the King David, who found mercy and forgiveness in thy sight, is set forth for all the world to know that there is a God who still forgives sin. Oh Lord, we're so grateful this morning. We're called by Thy name. And we're so thankful, Lord, that we've got an altar to come to. Through the blood of Christ, we find healing and forgiveness and mercy and grace when we sin. Thank You for that, Lord. What a precious privilege of the believer that all our sins are washed in the blood of Christ. We love You today, Father, and we'd ask You to speak to our hearts through this message. And Lord, we pray that a multitude of souls around the world will hear this message and find freedom through forgiveness in Thy blood. We'll thank You ahead of time, Lord, for all that Thou shalt do through this preached word of God in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Beloved, chances are pretty strong that none of us have ever been guilty of the sins that David was guilty of here in Psalm 51. I'm sure that nobody here this morning is a murderer, I hope, or conspired to commit a murder and then covered it up and hid that crime. I hope no one here has made someone get drunk like David did to Uriah. But we find ourselves, beloved, just as guilty as David was, though it be in other areas of failure in our lives. The real encouragement of this psalm is that even David found mercy and forgiveness from God, and that we too have his forgiveness available to us at all times. I've got good news, church, this morning. You don't have to hide under a rock when you sin. You can confess that to God and He will forgive you. You get up out of that muck and mire and you go on for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God doesn't want you to quit. God doesn't want you to have such a load of guilt that you can never serve God again. You can never show your face in church again. He wants you to come to Him like David did. Let us learn this morning from Psalm 51 in this prayer for all ages how we too can, like David, come to the Lord for forgiveness. There's seven things we need. I want to give you seven things that we need to learn from Psalm 51 concerning this prayer for all ages. First thing we need is an admission of guilt. An admission of guilt. Look with me in Psalm 51 at verse 1. David is talking to who? Oh yeah, God. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. What's David doing in verse 1? He's admitting his guilt. You know, sometimes we sin, and then we pretend we didn't sin. Hey, don't do that. Confess that thing. Acknowledge and admit it to God. I messed up, and I need forgiveness. Verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. David says, I've got to get this load off my back. I can't carry it on my shoulders anymore, Lord. Please take it from me. Look at verse 4, against thee. Thee only have I sinned. Now, folks, time out. David sinned against Uriah, okay? David's sin hurt many other people in his life. But in the scope of eternity, his sin was directly against his maker. You see that? Verse 4. Against thee only have I sinned and done this. In other words, God is the one that he'll answer to for his sin, Amen. Not humankind. And done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. David says, I'm guilty. I deserve whatever I get. And boy, did he ever get it from God. You know that David paid and paid and paid in his personal life for decades for the sin of Bathsheba and Uriah after he committed it? Though God forgave him for it, there were the scars of sin in his family. His family paid. Oh, folks, this is so important to realize that the first step to forgiveness is an acknowledgement and admission of guilt. Listen now, David is coming clean with God. He's no longer covering up his secret sin, but he's admitting before God that he's guilty. 1 John 1:9, don't turn there. It says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Listen now, Romans 3, verse 19. Hold your place in Psalm 51 and flip over to Romans chapter 3. You know what Romans chapter 3 talks about? The world in which we live. The world in which we live. It says in there, there's no fear of God before their eyes. It says in here, the way of violence is in their path. And the way of peace they've not known. That's Romans chapter 3. Oh yeah. Because that's the world in which we live, folks. But look what he says in verse 19 of Romans chapter 3. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Wow! You see what verse 19 said? It said God wants all the people of the entire world to admit their guilt before Him. Why? Because He wants to forgive them. He wants to save them from that sin. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't sit there and look like a goody two shoes. You've sinned just like me. We all need God's forgiveness. Notice the little word A-L-L in verse 23. Yeah, that includes you and I. And the first step to forgiveness is an admission of guilt. A woman on CNN this week, she told the story of how she had lost her diamond wedding ring over 20 years ago. It had been her mother's wedding ring and her grandmother's wedding ring before her. Big diamond. Now listen, it had great sentimental value to this woman. It had been in the family for three generations. She said she received a small package one day in the mail, which contained her precious diamond wedding ring and a little note which simply said, please forgive me. Please forgive me. You know what I believe? Folks, I think and I bet that the person who stole her wedding ring probably got saved and realized that she or he was guilty and needed to return that ring. And they did. And they had a note, please forgive me. You know what I believe? I believe that was a Christian. Amen. And when they were not saved, they stole that ring. That's what I believe. Why? That person realized that they were guilty and they admitted it. And they said, I need your forgiveness. Oh, how we need to admit our guilt. But something else concerning a prayer for all ages. The second thing is that we need is mercy from God. We need mercy from God. Number one, look at back in Psalm 51. Look at verse number one. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, blot out my transgressions. Folks, God is the only one that can blot out your sin. The mercy that we need is originated from heaven in God through His Son. Look at verse number 9. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. That mercy that we need is from the throne of God. And the only way it can be received is through His Son. This is a message that is rejected by the majority of planet Earth, folks. They don't want to come to God for forgiveness through His Son. They want some other way. They want Hare Krishna. They want Buddha. They want Allah or Muhammad or Hinduism. See, they don't want the true way to come to God and find forgiveness through Jesus Christ. I want you to think with me here. For a moment, church. Listen, what if God refused to show mercy to David? What if God said, no, you've sinned grievously before me. Get out of my sight. I don't want to know you. I'll tell you what would happen with David. He'd split hell like a bullet. He'd have gone to hell, not to paradise when he died. Folks, if God refused to forgive you, you could not be forgiven. Do you realize the number one need for this world is not food? I know they're dying of starvation in Africa. I know that. The number one need is forgiveness for sin. Then you'll have eternal life. Listen, if God said, I will not forgive you, David, I never want to see you again, He wouldn't have. Now, as foolish as that sounds, yet how many churches today have believers that actually do that? They pretend that God won't forgive them. David needed mercy from God, and so do we. Oh, folks, we need to realize. Look at Psalm 52. Psalm 52, verse 8. David says, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the what?
Mercy
of God." Temporarily? Nope. Forever and ever. Do you trust in the mercy of God forever and ever? Do you realize that His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting? Another psalm says. Oh yeah, it's forever. When God gives you mercy, He won't take it away. I'm so thankful for that. Do you know that 98 times in the Psalms, God's mercy is mentioned? 98 times. You think He's trying to tell us something? Yeah, He's a merciful God. And that mercy must come from Him. I think the sweetest words between a husband and wife are, "I forgive you. I forgive you." And we all need to hear those words at times, don't we? But more importantly than from our spouse, we need to hear it from heaven. And our Heavenly Father, with arms wide open, is sitting, ready, willing, and able to forgive us if we only realize that mercy comes from Him alone. The third thing we need in this prayer for all ages is we need cleansing from sin. We need cleansing from that sin. Look at verse 2, Psalm 51. "Wash me thoroughly," that's within, "from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." 7, "purge me," that's purify, "with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow." Wow. David says, "Oh boy, I have sinned so, I have messed up worse than any human being. I'm the worst scoundrel on planet Earth." He was at that moment. But you know what he said in verse 7? "If God cleanses me, I'll be whiter than snow." Folks, do you realize this morning, you've been saved. You've been washed in the blood. On the inside, you are whiter than snow. That's why you're going to heaven. Not because you come to KJB Bible Baptist Church. Not because you tithe. Not because you were baptized. You're going because you're clean and washed on the inside by the blood of Christ. We need cleansing from sin. Beloved, just as the doctor will tell you, the remedy must be stronger than the disease. And we know that there is no remedy in this world that is capable of removing the disease of sin from the soul. But David knew that God could. God can do what man cannot. God can do what you cannot. You know, sometimes we do. Here's a big mistake. We mess up, we sin, and then we go around trying to fix it ourselves. "Oh, I'll just make up for it by doing this good deed." No, no. You need to get on your knees and get on your face before God and confess that thing. 1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son," what's the next word, Ellie?
Cleanseth.
She knows because this is our life verse. "Cleanseth," present tense. Present tense. "Cleanseth us from all sin." That's what cleanses from sin. The blood of Jesus Christ. He needed cleansing from sin just like us, and He knew it. But that's not all. Fourthly, this morning in this prayer for all ages, the fourth thing we need is a prayer for purity. A prayer for purity. Look at verse number 6. This is a prayer every one of us must make, folks. Verse 6. "Behold, thou," who's David talking to? God. The whole psalm he's talking to God. "Behold, thou, Lord, desires truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part," that's in my spirit, "thou shalt make me to know wisdom." He's going to purify him. Verse 10. "Create," here's a prayer, "create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You know what David's asking God for? He's asking Him for purity. Folks, listen to me. This is one of the most important prayers we need to make before the throne of God. "Create in me, O God." Me and me, me, oh me, oh me. Not my sister, not my brother, not my mother, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within." You need to ask God. His Holy Spirit will do that, but we need to seek it. It doesn't happen by accident. What a revelation we find here, beloved, on this prayer for purity. Two things the Holy Spirit shows us in this prayer. First, that we have no purity or holiness of our own making. Look at verse 6. Verse 6, David says, "Behold, Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Now he's saying, you want me to be pure and clean, Lord, and you want me to be true on the inside, but I'm not. I just committed murder. I sinned grievously. See that? David had no holiness of his own. Don't look so pious. Neither do you. Neither do you or me. Neither do I. The second thing we need to realize here, not only that we have no purity or holiness of our own making, but that, secondly, that we can only become pure and holy by asking God to make us so. Folks, listen to me. When you're on your worst day, where you totally mess up and you don't feel like a Christian at all, inside you, there is something perfectly, eternally, sinlessly holy, and that is the Spirit of God. When God looks at you, he doesn't see your sin. He sees his Son in you. He sees the Spirit of his Son crying, Abba, Father, this one belongs to you. He sees perfect, pure, perfect righteousness. Amen? Why? Because he makes us righteous. It's the indwelling presence of God's Spirit that makes us holy. You know, I am amazed at the holier than thou crowd. The holiness crowd. You know about the holiness crowd? They preach like this, and they preach like this. It's an act. It's an act, and they're not holier than thou. They're just as sinful as you or I. The only thing holy about them is if they're saved, they've got the Holy Ghost. That's it. They don't understand that. They're trying to make themselves holier than thou, and it doesn't work. Look at verse 10 again. Create in me a clean heart. O God, renew a right spirit within me. He's saying, God, do a work on my inside that I can't do. God can do that, you know, but we've got to ask. And David realized that if there was anything good in him, it was because God made him so. And if there was anything evil in him, it was because he allowed himself to be so. Wow. We need prayer for purity, folks. But something else, fifthly, in this prayer for all ages, we need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. When you've sinned, you come back to God, you need a fresh anointing of the Spirit of God. Now, verse 11, David says, cast me not away from thy presence. Say, Lord, don't put me on a shelf. Don't put me aside from serving you. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, folks, I've got good news for you this morning. God will not take his Holy Spirit away from you. But then we're sealed. David was not sealed. None of the Old Testament saints were sealed. You are. Therefore, you can feel like God is a million miles away from you at times. Though he's not. Right? So what do we need at that point when we feel like he's not there? We need a fresh filling, a fresh anointing of that Holy Spirit. He's saying, Lord, I need a fresh anointing of thy Spirit within my spirit. Careful observation of this verse, beloved, will show that David is not only praying, but he is supplicating before God. How many remember the old preacher John R. Rice, the old Baptist preacher? He came before Jack Iles. John R. Rice had a saying in the sermons. He would say, prayer is asking, supplication is begging. Supplication is begging. That's what the word means. We need to beg God to purify us within and to fill us with that Holy Spirit, a fresh anointing. I find the best way of doing this is to put in your favorite worship CD, put a do not disturb sign on the door, take the phone off the hook, and shut the door of your prayer closet, and lift your arms and begin to worship Jesus Christ. And you will be so filled with the Holy Spirit, by the time you get done, the Holy Ghost tears will be rolling down your cheeks. You'll be filled. You'll be filled. Because he inhabits the praise that is worship of his people. I guarantee it. A fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. But something else, sixthly, we need in this prayer for all ages, we need restoration of joy after we've sinned. Restoration of joy. Look at verse 12. What's the first word?
Restore.
Something was taken away. Folks, listen to me. Sin will rob you like a thief of your joy in the Lord. There's one thing the devil wants to do because he knows he can't have your soul. You're already saved. It's too late for that. But he wants to rob you of your joy. and he wants to make you quit on God. He wants to make you miserable. And you know what? How he does it? By getting you to sin. By getting us to sin. That's how he robs us of our joy. Listen to me. Sin will always rob you of your joy. If you don't remember anything else today, remember this. Sin will make you miserable. Look at verse number 12. Restore, he's still praying. Restore unto me the what?
Joy
of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Now, folks, listen to me. Two things we find in verse number 12. One, we need to ask the Lord to restore that joy. His Holy Spirit will do that. And then we need to realize how it can be maintained. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Should be a capital S. That's the Holy Ghost. That's not your spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. He gives liberty. He's a free spirit. He gives freedom from what? From sin. Amen? And joy accompanies that freedom. Now, we know what happens when we sin. We lose the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. He wants to rob us, Samson, of his strength. Depression, sorrow, heartache, despair begin to overwhelm the heart and soul and mind. You know why people commit suicide? Because they're not right with God. And sin has made them so miserable, they don't want to live anymore. They don't know any way out except suicide. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? Because Psalm 51 has the answer. Beloved, this is good because God's Spirit is working in showing us our heart's true condition. Look at verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness. See that? David's saying, Lord, I want your joy back. I want the joy, listen to me, I want the joy back of being right with God. You know there's a joy that accompanies your serving God in a right spirit and in sanctification and honor? There's a joy that accompanies that. It's natural. You don't have to fabricate or produce it. He's saying, I want my joy back. Lord, I'm miserable and I want to come out of it. He needed restoration of joy. But I see something else that we need in this prayer for all ages. We need, finally, we need a humble heart. A humble heart. You will never come to God like David did in Psalm 51 until you humble yourself, get rid of that pride. Say, I need forgiveness. Look at verse 15. Still praying, David says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God. Ah, a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite. That's contrition. A contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know what he said in verse 17? He said a humble heart will be received by God every time out. A humble, contrite heart is what he desires, folks. He hates pride. You know what the devil's sin was? Pride. Pride. That's why Satan became Lucifer. Oh, yeah. Pride was the first sin ever committed. Now, David, as you know, was the king of Israel. God made them the most powerful nation on earth in David's reign. David went through his enemies like butter. Because he had angelic assistance, right? But now at last he comes to the realization that he was nothing without God. He now sees through his personal failures that it was God all along that had given him those victories. It was Solomon, David's son, who would write, pride goeth before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. He's broken now. He's contrite now. He's humbly sitting before the Lord and confessing that he cannot even take his next step apart from the help and grace of God. Do you realize this morning, church, that you can't even take your next breath without God allowing you to do so? How dependent are we upon this God we serve? How we need him, and how humble ought that to make us? We've seen his need for an admission of guilt. We've seen his need for mercy from God, his need for cleansing from sin, his need for prayer for purity, his need for filling of the Holy Spirit, his need for restoration of joy, his need for a humble heart. But finally, I want you to notice the results of this prayer. The results of all this is found in verses 12
and 13. Listen to me. David is now restored to the man of God that he was supposed to be. The results are twofold. First, he has a renewed desire to win souls. Look at verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be what?
Converted
to thee. David says, you know what, Lord? Because you're restoring me, you're forgiving me, you're resurrecting me spiritually, sinners are going to be converted. I'm going to be a soul winner like I've never been before. You know what the result of forgiveness is, folks? You serve God stronger. You appreciate Him more. You do more for Him than you ever did before. David is back with the Lord now in verse 13. He's the way he should be. And his greatest desire, notice verse 13, is for others to know Him and love Him and obey Him as well. Your greatest desire, besides pleasing your Heavenly Father, is for others to know Him like you do. Isn't it? That's the Holy Spirit in you compelling you to win others to Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, the first result of getting right with God and this prayer for all ages is a renewed desire to win souls to Jesus Christ. But secondly, the second result is that David now has a renewed desire to serve God. Look at verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. 18. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. 19. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. That's a picture of giving your whole self, surrendering yourself to the Lord. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I have a renewed desire to serve God like I've never served Him before. Why? Because He's building the walls of Jerusalem. He's going to build the church. Not me, not you. God will do it. Amen? Listen, folks. The temple service is not only restored after David's prayer, but performed, notice verse 19, in righteousness and honor. That's what God was looking for from the king. My message today, a prayer for all ages. In closing, let me give you this. In Europe, between the years 1350 and 1841 AD, Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4, saved 800,000 people from execution. 800,000 people were saved alive from being executed from Psalm 51. How? Listen, the law was called the benefit of clergy. And any criminal under a sentence of death could claim the benefit of clergy law by reciting the first four verses of Psalm 51. If he or she was unable to recite them, he was out of luck and hung in the gallows. But over 800,000 people recited the first four verses and lived. Why? Psalm 51 saved their lives. Let that sink in. Psalm 51 saved their lives. You know what I believe? I believe Psalm 51 has saved many a life down through the ages because a poor sinner found that they could be forgiven like David was forgiven. Beloved, we don't have to memorize Psalm 51, but it sure is comforting to know that we can claim it.
Amen.
A prayer for all ages. Father, how we thank you this morning for this incredible psalm, this penitential psalm. And Lord, we thank you that like David the king, the sweet psalmist of Israel, needed forgiveness, so too do we in our daily lives. Lord, I can't think of a single day that goes by that I don't need your mercy and forgiveness for something. It might just be a wrong thought. It might just be a wrong look. It might just be a wrong word spoken. Whatever it is, it's sin, and it needs forgiveness. It needs cleansing. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible prayer for all ages of world history, that under any dispensation we can come to God who made us and find mercy and grace and forgiveness through his son. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Yes. Amen. Folks, let's grab our hymnals at this time. For a short invitation, we're going to sing. I'd like you to open your hymnal to hymn 67 and think about the words of this particular hymn this morning. Maybe you need to hit the altar. Maybe you need to do what David did. I don't know. Only God knows your heart. But Jesus paid it all, and that's why we can be forgiven. Alvina Hall wrote, and we're going to sing on Psalm 67, the first, the second, and the fourth. Altar is open.
My strength indeed is small. Child of witness, what to bring? Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left the crimson stain.
Yeah! Time out, church. Folks are at the altar. Perhaps you need to join them. Maybe you want to pray for someone else who needs forgiveness, that they would seek it through Jesus Christ. Whatever the need may be, this altar is open on the second. Yes, indeed.
Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone. And change the leper's thoughts and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all. To him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Yeah. This one, folks. Words.
And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all.
Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Great, great singing and service this morning, folks. And I'm so thankful the Lord does business with us at this altar. Oh, praise God. Father, how we thank you for your word this morning. We are reminded graphically from the word of God today that forgiveness is the privilege of the believer. Lord, that no matter how bad we blow it, we can find mercy and grace, compassion and forgiveness through the blood of thy cross. Lord, I thank you that 1 John 1:7 is still in the Bible. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Thank you for that today, Father. Help us to share this message of forgiveness with a lost and dying world, Lord, before it's too late. They too can find forgiveness in thee alone. We thank you for it this morning in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Beloved, this evening at 6, if you can, we will be.